Hello, everyone. My name is Colleen.
And I'm Kayla.
And welcome to Queeriosities.
We'll get there.
Oh, man. Okay. We're going to work on that.
All right. We did it.
We did it.
We jumped. We published the intro, and we are back for our very first full episode.
Gosh, that feels good, eh?
Yeah.
No, that feels so nice. But right off the bat, before we jump into this podcast, we have to talk about you. And I know in our first episode, we made jokes. We were kind of jokingly serious, though, that it was only our mothers who were going to listen to the first episode.
But we genuinely thought that that would be
100%. Yeah. But like, holy Hannah, everybody, we were... And like still are. Yeah. It's been a constant 2 weeks of being in awe. Like, we are floored that, one, you listened to our first episode, and two, that you're back and you're listening again.
Yeah.
We are so happy.
And we are so very deeply grateful
that
you did listen. And those people that wrote us with very kind messages and emails and all sorts of very lovely things that we are really kind of taken aback by.
Yeah, like we received messages and we would send them to each other and be like, are these people talking about us?
Yeah. It's kind of unbelievable to think that we had an impact in certain ways. And those kind of messages kind of showed us that we did have an impact in certain ways.
Yeah. And it was with like incredible students, really incredible students who were brave and messaged us and told us what they thought.
Yeah.
But also family and friends and just the kind words and support. Yeah. It was really quite amazing. And we're also floored, and I would say genuinely confused. We're not confused in a negative way at all, confused in like an authentic way, that there are listeners from 11 different countries.
We're dumbfounded by that.
Completely.
And how is that even possible?
No, we were laughing that like there would potentially be someone in Ontario. And so if you are currently listening outside of Canada, we love you. Thank you. We're obsessed with you at this point. But really, we're so deeply grateful for you. And we hope that listeners outside of Canada and within Canada, that you find, I think, some sort of comfort maybe from the podcast, that you are potentially encouraged to start questioning some norms maybe and expectations from your own context and your own environment. I would say essentially that you feel empowered.
Right.
That this podcast and this space makes you feel at all confident and happy and empowered. And it's just a huge win. We really love and appreciate you. So thank you so, so much.
Yeah. And today, our very first full episode.
Yeah.
We're looking slightly more professional.
Mm-hmm.
This time we have two mics.
Whoop.
We knew how to turn them on.
Yeah.
We were able to plug everything in. We got the red light to come on.
In less than 2 hours?
Yes. Last time, you know, trial and error. We learned from our mistakes. We have a plan. Mm-hmm. We have fewer nerves than the last time.
They're still there. I'd say my butterflies are like floating around in there.
But
still.
We've got way more excitement, I think, this time.
Yeah.
Around. It's good. So what did we learn from our first podcast?
Lots.
I know that I have to admit that my partner Julie was right. I have a tendency to speak a little too quickly. My words get jumbled together.
You're trying so hard right now.
Trying so hard. But I would like to admit that she is right and that I do kind of jumble my words and I become maybe not so understanding for other people. So it's better, and I'm going to really try to enunciate and take my time.
I think you did great, but still, that's a huge win for Julie.
It's a huge win for her, and we're all very happy for Julie that she was right and that I'm admitting it.
Yeah, we're very happy for you, Julie. One more thing, though, that has to be mentioned. This does not come easy for me, necessarily, but I am accepting. I'm not necessarily understanding, but I'm accepting of the fact that most people, and I would say by a significant margin, fill their pockets.
And let's just specify that it's front and back pockets.
Yeah, people are filling their pockets with things, with multiple objects.
Yeah.
So there's just like front and back, there's bulging thighs all over Halifax.
That are jingling along the way.
That are jingling all over town. And my wife is a chronic pocket filler.
Good for her.
I mean, I can say, although I disagree with the practice, she feels so incredibly validated by not only the podcast when you were sharing, but all the subsequent messages that came in of the pocket support. She has been like time and time again validated by all of your general use of pocket space.
Yeah, we like it a lot.
Well, so it seems.
Yeah. So before we dive into this podcast, I feel like you've got some important things that have happened within the last 2 weeks. It's been a bit of a whirlwind in a positive way. She's beaming at the moment. You might not be able to see, but like it's overwhelming the amount that she's beaming at the moment.
Guys, I'm a wife.
Officially.
I'm officially a wife, and my wife is also a wife, and it's just glorious. We had a wonderful, beautiful, tiny, intimate wedding. And by tiny, I mean there were 10 people in my living room. And it was teeny and small and beautiful. And we had really just a wicked time. And so we just had a little wee thing here. And then we all went out to eat. It was very, very special. And then wifey and I got up, packed our luggage, went to Greece for a week. And we went to Santorini. I had never been. For those of you that have, I'm sure you would feel the exact same as me. It was an absolute fairy tale. It was a week of an epically gay fairy tale.
Gay bliss.
It was gay bliss. And gay bliss in the way too that like we were there for the week and we mentioned on multiple occasions that when we were there, we had less people like staring at us than we even do in Dartmouth. Like,
yeah.
Nobody cared. It was
and what a feeling
beautiful
to just be there authentically, having a life of abundance, yeah. Enjoying it.
I know, because sometimes, and maybe we'll take this on in a subsequent kind of episode, but sometimes when you're traveling as a queer couple, you have to actually think about where you go, right? Yeah. Because it's not always safe to travel to certain countries. And I've had to go to countries before where I've had to like hide and pretend that I wasn't with my partner. And that's all like so hard.
Yeah.
But this time was just like, it was open. It was gay bliss. We just held hands and
magical.
Were wives the whole time. And anyway, thank you for the space to say that. So cool. Any baby gays listening? Oh my gosh. We're just so excited for your, if that's a desire of yours, yeah. For your eventual beautiful weddings to your partners that you're going to be happy and open and authentic and loving with. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So great. You are in epic honeymoon mode.
Yeah.
You and Aaron. But we have so much to say about the question that we asked last podcast episode.
We do. And we have actually received incredible comments from you guys about this what is gender curiosity. And we're loving it because a lot of the questions, well, all of the questions, they're coming from such a wide range of ages, which is amazing because everyone has such different perspectives. So as you know, we left you with that very open-ended question. There's no concrete answer, but hearing the perspectives of different generations coming in is fascinating. And so I think it made it so we recognize how important it is to bring your perspectives into the podcast too. So it's yes, our opinions, but it's really just a community space.
Yeah.
And we're going to try and bring some of your things into the podcasts now and kind of in the future. It also must be said too that we're going to take that question on today. We're going to talk about it. We hope that you've taken some time to think about what that question means for you. But it has to be said that we're going to take this subject on as more of a conversation. Like yeah. It's not going to be a space where we're hitting you with these concrete answers. They don't exist, yeah. Right? So this is really like a contemplative space. We're going to be having a conversation about it. But if you're looking to leave with this nicely wrapped up in a bow kind of answer, we apologize in advance. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. It's not going to happen today.
No.
So this time we're going to talk about a couple of the 2S LGBTQ terms. So last time we mentioned that maybe not everybody completely understands every single term that's tied to the community. But we're going to start today with the difference between biological sex and gender.
Ooh,
big ones.
It's a biggie. Yeah. And so the difference between sex and gender,
mm-hmm.
It's a super good point because these two concepts are at the very foundation of understanding humanity,
mm-hmm.
but more specifically understanding identity.
Right.
And so identity concerns every single person on the planet. This isn't a question that only concerns 2S LGBTQ people.
Right.
Identity is everyone,
mm-hmm.
right?
And even those who identify as agender, meaning they don't have a gender, still have a biological sex and still express themselves in their own unique ways.
Right. And so for us to kind of break down this further, we're starting with these two concepts, and I'm going to hit you with a definition. So when we are talking about biological sex, sex is determined by someone's reproductive organs, their genes, and their hormones. Biological sex, meaning males have XY chromosomes, which presents itself as a penis and testes, among other things. Females have XX chromosomes, presenting themselves as vagina, vulva, ovaries, breasts, again, among other things. Intersex people have numerous variations of X and Y chromosomes. So I do feel that intersex mm-hmm. may be a new word.
For a lot of people, I think.
For some people, yeah. And so intersex refers to, it's kind of an umbrella term that is used to describe bodies that do not fit within the strict male to female binary.
Right.
Right? So you have reproductive organs and genes and hormones that cannot be neatly defined as either male or female. And in that way, there are multiple ways of being intersex, right? So that's important to know. So the thought, and that may be a thought that's in your head right now, and that's okay. But the thought that there are only two sexes, like you can only be male or female at birth, is just, it's incorrect, right? Simply, it's wrong. And so babies are born either male, they are born female, or they are born intersex. And they're babies, so they're all wonderful and miraculous and beautiful, right? So that's sex, gender. And heads up, people, listeners, the definition of gender is vast and it's big and it's vague and it's gray and it's also awesome, right? Because it's gray. And so I think it may, for some listeners, it may make you feel slightly uncomfortable, right? It may even make people feel overwhelmed kind of in its simplicity. And so if you're sitting here and you're kind of like, ooh, I'm not liking this. My stomach's kind of having a little bit of like a tightness to it. Just recognize that. It may be new information and there may be some discomfort, but we do encourage you to kind of work with that, right? Don't turn away from it. Let's try and, I know lean in is used so much, but like actually let's just try and lean into that kind of discomfort and use it for our advantage. So gender identity by definition is the intimate and profound sense that one has about themselves.
Right. And it can't be defined by anyone other than the actual individual. No one can tell you what your gender is.
Absolutely not, right? That is a unique experience for the person. And so last episode, we asked the question, so what is gender first? And then what does it mean to you? So if you were not told by a doctor or by family or society at large that you were a girl or a boy, I'm using the binary as most of us were forced into that construct, obviously from birth. If you were not told, well, then how would you identify?
Right.
So in a bigger way, like, what is your womanness if it's not your vulva or your breasts, for right. example? Or like, what is your manliness if it's not your penis?
Right.
Right?
So again, we want to remove the stereotypes of who cooks, of who mows the lawn, who changes the diapers, and who barbecues.
Yeah, of course.
So we really want to take away what society has taught us with the question of what is a woman and what is a man. So if we take away those two questions, what are we left with?
Great question. If we take away those two concepts, what are we left with? Freedom.
Right.
Like my first answer is freedom, right? And then I guess my answer would be non-binary.
Right.
So having a gender identity that is simply outside the binary of man or woman. And when I think of non-binary, I want to say that it's like a political statement to be non-binary.
Right. And we can't say that every non-binary person is making a political statement. It might apply to some of them, but maybe not all of them. And it's like a refusal to accept the social construct that has been given to us since we were born.
Yeah. And I find that to be like a beautifully courageous thing. And I know, good point, like it's not, that is certainly not the experience of every non-binary person, but the idea that I refuse to accept the box that you think I should be in because of the sex that I was born with.
Yeah. We are not like solely contained within our birth certificate of male or female.
Exactly. Because that in itself is limiting.
Right.
Right. And so if we can, I'd love to back it up a tiny step because I want to take a second to deconstruct this idea of social construct.
Right.
Because we hear all the time, and I'm sure listeners, you've heard this as well, is that gender is a social construct. Yes, it is. And what that means is that it's been constructed, I'm using air quotes, but like it's been constructed or it's been fabricated by a heteronormative society, right? I think that's clear.
Yeah.
And which is obviously clearly related to colonization, but we can take that up kind of in a further podcast.
Another topic.
Another time. But essentially, what social construct means is that it's made up.
Yeah, we did it to ourselves in a way.
Yes, it's legitimately made up. It's not based on anything scientific. It's not biology. It is a social creation. And so the fact that we are so hell-bent on believing that there are only two genders, like you can either be a man or a woman, is just simply erroneous. But not only is it wrong, it's dangerous.
Right. And that makes me think of something that has happened when I was very, very young, and then also something that has happened recently. And it's my intense rejection of the color pink that I am now.
It's real for you.
Yeah. And I'm now realizing to what point I have and still do reject the color pink. And it kind of goes back to when there's brownies and there's girl guides.
Yes.
And before those two, there's sparks. So brownies, you wear brown, and girl guides, you wear blue. And unfortunately for me, if you wanted to participate in Sparks, you had to wear the color pink. So my sister did Sparks, Brownies, Girl Guides, as you typically would. I skipped Sparks because I refused to wear the color pink. So I did Brownies happily, and I did Girl Guides happily. But no, I was not wearing that pink t-shirt.
And that was at, like, you do Brownies at full, like, 5 years old? 4 years old?
Five, six, seven, something around there.
Like you're a baby.
I'm just out of the baby stage, yeah. Technically.
So you skipped the I promise to share and be a friend phase.
I refuse to share and be a friend because of the color pink. Which is big, really.
It's huge. It's so huge. For me, it's huge that at that age, and you were so young, that the gender socialization that you were not critically aware of at the age. But there was still something in you that said, this is being forced on me because it is like my definition as a girl, right? That I have to wear or like this color. Right. That you were like,
no, not happening.
Stop right there, everybody.
Yeah.
Baby Kayla knows more than this.
Not doing it.
And I'm impressed they let you skip because you didn't show that you could share and be a friend and you just went
straight to brownies. I'm not sure what we do in brownies. That's like, we know you share and make friends in Sparks. I'm not sure what Brownies specifically does.
Never yet.
But it was one of those examples.
And you tried, correct me if I'm wrong, to join Boy Scouts at the time.
Yeah,
right?
I'm pretty sure my parents went the avenue, can we put Kayla into Boy Scouts? Because she's not liking the Sparks and she has more interests that align with Boy Scouts.
Mm-hmm.
But I was denied based on genitalia from what I understand. And hopefully we can look into it. But hopefully those rules have kind of changed. But, you know, Boy Scouts, Girl Guides, Brownies, Sparks, all those kind of things really does demonstrate to what point we want to divide people based on their biological sex. So if you have a vulva, basically you have to go to Sparks, Brownies, Girl Guides, and you're going to sell cookies. And there's nothing wrong for those people that want to do that. But if you have a penis, you go down the Boy Scouts route and you sell Christmas trees at Christmas time.
And learn how to fish.
And learn how to fish and camp and whatever. So hopefully there has been some evolution with those organizations, but it did remind me that I really didn't want to wear pink. So I just did not do Sparks.
And I think one of the points of that too, that's really important, is yes, it's comical that you skipped Sparks and went straight to Brownies, but it was the fact that at such a young age, you knew there was something in you that rejected so vehemently being associated to that color pink.
Yeah, it made me uncomfortable.
And it didn't make you question your identity.
No, I still knew I was a girl.
And
happily so.
Exactly.
But I did not want the color pink on my body for an extended period of time.
Which I think is fascinating, because I think for me, and there may be other people who agree with that, that like I personally, as Colleen, I identify as a woman, but I want to be in a world where there's no expectation or there's no projection of what my womanness should look like. And it's like at 4 years old, you agreed with that statement.
Yeah.
Right? Which is really special. And probably identifies a lot of other younger people.
Right. Right?
Young kids who we're obviously not giving enough credit to.
Right.
And it also reminds me of the socialization of gender in such a huge, huge, huge way for kids. And I have a friend whose mom went to, she was at a store, and she's the sweetest woman, and she was trying so hard. And she went to a store to purchase a gift for a baby. So she wanted to buy clothes for a baby, really, to avoid the idea that she would buy pink for a girl or blue for a boy.
Right.
She was like, I'm going to do well. I'm progressive. I'm doing it. So she goes up to the counter and she asks the lady, I'm just wondering if you have a bisexual section for the infants. In your store. And the lady was like, not quite sure what you mean. And then she described it as like, you know, I don't want to buy clothes that are like specific to the sex of the baby. And the woman was like, oh, you mean gender neutral?
Yeah.
And the mom was like, oh, yeah, that's the term.
Not bisexual.
Not bisexual.
Gender neutral.
But example of progress being made by this sweet, 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 beautiful woman. Who obviously made a mistake.
And a demonstration of a small step that we could all take.
100%. Yeah.
So if we can agree that gender is simply the intimate feeling that one has about themselves.
Yeah.
Be it a woman, a man, both, neither, non-binary, whatever it is. Mm. Then we invite you to think about this every time you walk into a clothing store like this woman did. Or into a public space like a bathroom. Where you are put into a box. Are you going into the bathroom because you have a penis in this one, or are you going into another bathroom because you have a vulva?
Mm. Like, what options do you have?
Yeah. What boxes are you being placed into?
And so if you are anywhere outside of the gender binary, which millions of people are on the planet, then you are constantly being told that your existence is not valid. And that is hugely problematic, right?
Right.
And we're taking a bit of a dark turn here, and we are going to try and keep the podcast uplifting, but this is a reality that millions of people are living, right? In our country, in our city, outside of our country. And so these are all microaggressions. Mm-hmm. Significant, right? Microaggressions. And so when we talk about like these constant microaggressions just adding up, like on through the run of a day and through the run of a week and a year and essentially over a lifetime, these microaggressions cause significant trauma for queer people, right? And so us inviting you into this question, what is gender, is one, interesting for self-reflection. And we do hope that you've been kind of along on that reflective journey with us. But it's also so much bigger than that,
yeah.
Right? Because we need to be thinking about that question, because it is at the very foundation of making spaces inclusive, accessible, and safe for everybody.
For everyone.
Right?
Yeah. So we're going to shift.
Let's shift, yeah.
So we've clearly identified that we do have a problem within our society.
Yeah.
It's our view of what gender is, but that's not new.
No.
But we can see that there are things that we can do to improve the situation of the social construct, to kind of deconstruct it. But we aren't without hope. There are changes happening all the time. Our students are amazing. We see it often throughout the school year, just how much of leaders that they actually are in making progress. And we can learn so much from them.
Yeah. If we give them the chance
And the space.
And the space to share and learn from them. Oh my gosh, what a beautiful space right. to be in. Because the things that are happening in high schools right now, yeah, we got problems, but holy, we've got some beautiful work happening with the younger generation with regards to this kind of work, right? Yeah. Like they know more than us.
Yeah.
Right? They know way more than us. So we just need to like open our ears to them as well.
Yeah.
And kind of in that regard, we're going to also leave you with a few more things to ponder until our next episode. So we want you as our listeners this week to think about, I guess, like what is in your control? So you as an individual, think about your own identity, all the facets of your identity, be it in your family, in your work environment, in your friend context, just with strangers in the street, whatever it is, however you navigate your world, how can you help to break down some of the walls that have been built around this concept of gender? Like, how can you help to break down some of the destructive obstacles that have been built around this erroneous concept of gender? And some examples, kind of off the top of our head, I guess, would be, for me, pronouns is huge. So for me, like, learning and respecting people's pronouns mm-hmm. is not hard. It's really not that difficult
yeah.
if we put the time and effort in. Or even getting used to using your own pronouns, right? Like, we know how to introduce ourselves. That's something that comes to all of us very naturally. Well, you know, relatively naturally.
Right.
That trying to become a little bit more comfortable with using your own pronouns.
Because by doing so.
Is a big step.
Yeah. And by doing so, we open the door to other people to say their pronouns, exactly. which creates a safe space for other people.
Normalizing.
Yeah. And being honest with children when they have questions.
Oh, huge.
Having those, you know, truthful discussions and conversations and open, being open with them when they do have questions.
These kids are so beautifully curious, right?
Yeah.
Like they are so like innocent and authentic and real and just want to know.
Yeah.
That being open and honest about questions of gender and identity, like they're never too young to know, especially yeah. if their gender is imposed upon them at birth. They're obviously never too young to know. Even just like offering kids a wide array of toys is just so, so, so important.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, and that's what parents can be doing. If parents are listening, like that's one thing that you can do. Just try and like break down some of these barriers that have been built around gender.
Yeah.
Right. But those are only a few examples. If you guys want to take the next few days or week or 2 weeks and maybe write some down, or maybe if you want to shoot us a text or a message with like your thoughts and what you're thinking of different solutions in different ways, we really want to take that on in our next episode. What are ways that we can do better?
Yeah.
Right? We can do better. I know we can. People are doing better every day.
Yeah.
Right? So how can we just think of a little bit more that we could be doing?
Right.
Yeah.
I think we can do it.
I know we can do it.
One step at a time.
And again, we send you the deepest of deep gratitude for joining us today. Please remember, again, to be gentle on yourselves and be gentle on others while on this journey of learning. We are becoming better together.
Ta-da.
One step at a time. And toodles!